Brethren said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, we looked at the phrase in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we saw this morning a restful countenance. We saw how sheep are very easily spooked, but in the presence of their shepherd, all fear begins to dissipate from their lives. Then we saw a reassuring confidence. So how could David say that in the midst of walking through a valley of the shadow of death? Now, let me remind you real quick, especially for you that are visiting. The valley of the shadow of death is not speaking of God walking us through literal death. Matter of fact, this psalm has nothing to do with death. The valley of the shadow of death is speaking of God walking us through trials and tribulations that could grip us as if it were death. And so this is the context of what we're looking at. Now, and then we saw that reassuring confidence as David would understand that the reason he would not fear any evil is because he is with him, or to put it in this side of Pentecost, he is in us. And so that's what we looked at this morning. Now, I want to pick up from that and look at the third point with you, a refreshing comfort. Now, this is an amazing phrase in which is made here, and I'm going to be honest with you. It'll take a miracle for me to get through this phrase tonight. But anyway, this phrase, thy rod and thy staff. Now, it speaks of two different instruments or two different things in which the shepherd would have on him or carry. A rod and a staff. The rod was something that the shepherd would use in different means. The staff was something the shepherd would carry with him. The rod would be stuck in his sash. The staff would be something that was in his hand. Primarily, he would carry it in his left hand. And when he carried this rod, it would have a crook on the end. And he would use that crook for various measures, in which we'll talk about in just a moment. But the amazing thing about this statement is when you start discovering what a shepherd used this staff and this rod for, it's amazing that David could say that these things comforted me. Because that's what makes this passage so unique and amazing. Now, you understand that as we go through this. So with that being said, I want us to look first at the comfort of the shepherd's stick. The comfort of the shepherd's stick. Now, you say, what do you mean? The rod. Now, here's the way it would work. When a young lad would be brought up in a home where sheep would be the tending of that family, in other words, a family that would have a flock of sheep or multiple flocks of sheep, the father would immediately begin to train his son on how to be a shepherd. And one of the first things when he would get of age is the father would send his son out, most of the time would go with him, and they would find a stick, one most of the time off of a branch that was still on the limb, but they would find a stick. And when they found this stick, the son would begin to shape and carve and mold this stick to where it would perfectly fit in his hand. And then when that took place, the young lad that was training to be a shepherd would learn how to use this stick, this rod. He would learn how to use it in multiple ways. He would learn how to use it in the way of defense. In other words, how to fight off packs of dogs or other animals that would come against the sheep. But another unique way in which this shepherd would learn to use this stick is he would learn how to throw it with deadly accuracy. Matter of fact, the young lad would learn how to throw it with such accuracy that it would literally be as if one had a slingshot with a rock. And he would throw that stick, and it really, in very accurate form, he could dismantle a prey very quickly. And so this is what would take place. And so David said, this rod, it comforts me. Now, I want you to look at the various things in which a shepherd would use this rod. So let's look at this with me. The first thing is, this rod is called the rod of defense. Now, here's the amazing thing. What does the shepherd call this rod? Well, the shepherd would use this term for this rod. He would say it's the extension of his right hand. What an amazing picture. You say, why is that? Because you're going to find out in just a minute, the rod represents the person of the Lord Jesus in being the incarnate Word of God. So the rod is called the rod of the Word. The rod is picturing the Lord Jesus. And can I tell you, the Bible says when Christ died, when he rose, the Bible says he ascended to the what? Right hand of the Majesty on high. The extension of God the Father's right hand. His hand of authority. All judgment was given to who? Christ. And Christ would be the extension of God's right hand, his authority. And the Bible says that Jesus was called the rod. You say, where was he called the rod? Well, I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of his roots. Speaking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we find here is the rod pictures the incarnate Word. The Lord Jesus lived out by the Word and living out the Word. And so the Word of God through the person of the Lord Jesus is what this rod represents in our lives. Now you have to understand, when a shepherd would use this rod in the way of defense, he would use it in those two ways I described that he would train very hardly to do. He would use it in a way of sometimes fighting off prey, or in the way of throwing and decapitating or dismantling a prey. But he would use it always to defend the sheep. And the sheep would find comfort in the fact that their shepherd not only had that rod, but knew how to use that rod. Can you imagine as prey would come up on a fold of sheep, and all of a sudden those sheep would begin to get fearful, begin to stand in one place, begin to shudder. And at that moment, that shepherd would pour that rod out. And whether he threw it or whether he fought off the prey and none of the sheep was hurt, can you imagine the confidence that would bring to the sheep the next time they heard a rustling in the bushes? Can I tell you the Lord Jesus is our defender? Can I tell you the Lord Jesus is our protector? And can I tell you, the Lord Jesus is the one that defends us from sin, from Satan, from this world. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus won the victory for us on Calvary, and the rod of the Word is that which comes in our life, and the rod of the Word protects us from temptation, protects us from the world, and all of a sudden we develop a mindset of this Word. And as we develop a mindset of this Word, His rod, His person is protecting us every day. People ask me all the time, why are you so big about people being under the Word? Because I want to tell you, those that are not under the Word, you're like sheep in an open field without a shepherd, and you're on your own. The Word is what God uses to protect us. His Word is our lifeblood. His Word is our defense. His Word is our protection. Psalm 110, verse 1 through 5. Listen to what it says. The Lord said unto my Lord, He said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of wrath. The Lord of thy right hand. And you think it's accident that a shepherd uses the term that his rod is the extension of his right hand. All pictures the Word of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of the hand. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is their defender. Can I tell you, a shepherd doesn't lose his sheep. And our Lord Jesus never loses one of his. And so you see the glorious picture of the rod of defense. But I want you to see, secondly, not only is it used as a rod of defense, but a rod of discipline. Now, you have to understand, I shared this one time in one of the other messages on Psalm 23, but let me remind you, sheep are stubborn. Y'all say amen. Now remember, the Bible calls us sheep. Okay? Sheep are stubborn. And because they're stubborn, they continuously try to wander off from time to time. You remember what I shared before? What does the shepherd do with his rod when they wander off one too many times? He takes his rod and he breaks their hind leg. And when he breaks their hind leg, he picks that sheep up, takes that sheep, puts him around his shoulders, carries him for a day upon end until his leg is healed. And what does that sheep learn during that time? That the only hope he has to survive is a loving, caring shepherd. Can I tell you, sometimes God's got to discipline his sheep. And it is by the rod of the word that the Lord does this. It's by the rod of the word that he does this. The Bible tells us that he disciplines lovingly. Aren't you glad that a shepherd never disciplines his sheep by breaking his leg out of anger or hatred? But he does it to love on that sheep, to carry that sheep, to cultivate that sheep. And can I tell you, when the Lord Jesus has to discipline us, he always disciplines us lovingly. It's always out of a heart of love. It's never any other motivation but love. Matter of fact, the Bible says God is what? Now, y'all have heard me interpret this before for you before. It's interpreted this way. It's not God is love. That's the way it reads in the English. Because if we interpret it like it is in the English, then that means we can define love and attach it to God. But the way it reads in the original language, God love is. Now you say, why is that important? Because now you can't define love, attach it to God. You have to define who God is, and then you define love by the basis of who God is. God love is. And can I tell you, there's no judgment that God pours out. There's no discipline God pours out. There's nothing God does that is not first and foremost out of the basis of love. Because God can't be anything but who he is. And he is love. And so a shepherd will discipline a sheep lovingly. But secondly, a shepherd will discipline a sheep scripturally. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the Lord always deals with us scripturally. In other words, what does God use in his rod to discipline us? The Word of God. How many agree the Word of God shows us where we sin? The Word of God shows us when we're walking or wandering away. How many agree the Word of God reveals to us everything we need to see? And so when God has to bring discipline upon our life and God has to correct us as one of his children, can I tell you, it's always in conjunction with the Word. You see, God never does anything outside the confines of his word. So God will reveal to us, why am I going through this correction in my life? Why am I going through this chastisement of life? And every single time it comes back to the word of God. Now, let me give you a couple verses that will help you understand the significance of this. As a shepherd deals with the sheep, so the Bible tells us to deal with others, especially parents with children. Listen to what the Bible says, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he departs, or when he is old, he shall not depart in it. How many of you agree today that if you bring up a child under the admonitions of the Word of God, the Bible gives a clear and present promise? Now, notice the Bible didn't say he won't depart from it temporarily. But the truth of the Word will be planted in him, and eventually God will bring it to roost. But let me give you another verse, a verse we don't like to quote, but a verse that's just as much applicable to the reality of the verse I just read. And you say, what is that verse? Well, it's found in Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. What's the rod speaking of? Discipline. He that spareth discipline hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastens him betimes. Parents, listen, if you're not willing to correct your children, the Bible says you don't love your children. That's what the Bible says.
Why?
The word, the rod. He that spareth the rod. Discipline through what? Scriptural means. The word. And so the whole picture here is a shepherd dealing with his sheep. And he deals with his sheep lovingly, but he deals with his sheep correctly or scripturally. But also the Lord has to discipline us physically sometimes. Hebrews says this, that God chastens every child of him. And who he does not chasten is not a son. Now you say, what does that mean? What's the word chasten mean? It means God sometimes has to bring hardship upon our life to get our attention. And so here's the reality. God first deals with us through conviction. But when conviction don't work, God deals with it through chastisement. And when chastisement takes effect, let me tell you something. It could very easily affect you physically. Don't think God's beyond correcting you physically. Now, I want to make this clear. Just because somebody's sick don't mean they've sinned. So I want to make that perfectly clear. But can I tell you, there are people that get sick because they have sinned. Because God is dealing with them in a physical way. Why? Because God hates them? Oh, no, God loves them. And God's trying to draw them and woo them to a place of repentance in their life. And so when that shepherd breaks that hind leg of that sheep that keeps wandering off, is the shepherd doing it out of anger or malice? No, the shepherd's doing it out of love. Why? Because the sheep belong to him, and he wants the best for that sheep, and he knows that sheep can't make it unless he stays in step with the shepherd. And so God disciplines us lovingly, scripturally, physically. But notice next, profitably. You say, what do you mean? God's discipline is meant to produce or to profit us. You say, what do you mean? It's meant to bring us to repentance. It's meant to bring us to a place of understanding that as sheep, I've went astray. As sheep, I've wandered off. As sheep, I've not been dependent upon my shepherd. And the shepherd, in a loving way, has got my attention. And so what's the profit? I come into repentance and dependence. And as I repent before God on a moment-by-moment basis, I come to a deeper dependence in him time after time after time after time again. And every time God has to discipline me, I find that I'm more dependent upon him when I come through it in the end. Can you imagine when that sheep that had his leg broken by that shepherd, can you imagine when that sheep, his leg is fully healed, and that shepherd takes that sheep off of his shoulders, stands him up on his legs, now fully healed? How many of you agree today that that sheep will think twice before he wanders off again? Isn't it sad that God's got to sometimes go to that extreme to get our attention? But can I tell you something? God loves you enough to do it. I hear people all the time saying, oh, preacher, you're preaching on the judgment of God. I don't want the judgment of God. I just want to hear about the love of God. Well, can I tell you, the love of God is the judgment of God. Amen. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't discipline you. That's right. But because he disciplines, he's proving he's loving you. Now, let me go back to what I originally said. David understood all this about this rod. And watch what David said. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Now, y'all gonna let me get personal with you? Y'all say amen. Amen. When you think about the discipline of God, does it bring comfort to you? It should. Because it proves the love of God. It proves God cares for you. Let me tell you something. The worst thing and the one thing God will never do is leave you alone. He'll never do it. He'll never leave you alone because he's wanting you to grow and learn and be dependent. You see, this rod of discipline, it's done profitably. The Lord's discipline is done continually. There's never a time God's going to stop dealing with you and I in our sin. The Bible says this, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? So how often are we to go to the word? On Sunday morning and Sunday night? It's what some people think. You say, how do you know? I know. We're to go to the word all the time. We're to stay in the word. Well, what's the purpose of the word? Sanctify you. What's sanctify mean? Set you apart as holy. How can he set me apart as holy if he don't show me that that is unholy? So when does God stop disciplining? Never. Because he loves me and he loves you. And he's never going to stop showing you yourself. He's never going to stop showing you your sin. And so continually he disciplines. Let me tell you something. A shepherd will never stop training his sheep because they're stubborn. Amen. Y'all say amen. Amen. They're stubborn. Lastly, the Lord disciplines personally. Now, let me tell you something about when a shepherd has to take his rod and break a sheep's leg. Only on very rare occasions when it's absolutely no other way to do it. He'll never do it in front of the rest of the flock. You say, why? Because he doesn't want to scare the rest of the flock. But he always does it personally. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if God always dealt with his people publicly and not personally? You see, when God disciplines you, when God corrects you, when God convicts you, it is a one-on-one matter between you and God. Amen. And it doesn't matter what somebody else tells you. Oh, I hear this all the time. Oh, preacher, you're being too hard on yourself. You're just too hard on yourself. Well, I want to tell you something. David said, I'm a worm and not a man. Amen. See, God's always showing us ourselves. And he does it very personally. Let me tell you most of the time what happens. Most of the time, when you're sitting down with the Word and it's just you and God, God all of a sudden opens up the mirror of the Word and you start seeing yourself the way God sees you. I've said this before. Whoever designed the mirror to be put outside the shower needs to be dealt with. What nut came up with that idea? When I step out of the shower, I promise, that's not the first thing I want to see. But when I get in the Word, it's like a mirror. Now, I can step out of a chair and say, well, Hoyt, I need you to come over and put a new mirror in. That mirror not working right. Or I can go buy one of them trick mirrors. You know those circus mirrors? You know those ones that make you look thin? But see, all that's deceptive. The reality is what I see in the mirror is true about me. So I can do one of two things. I can walk out of the shower and do this. And can I tell you, that's what we do every day. We walk out of our houses. We walk through our days. And we do this. Why? I don't want to see myself. You see, this word, this rod, deals with you personally. Well, let me go on. Next, the rod of discovery. So we see the rod of defense. We see the rod of discipline. But thirdly, this rod is used for discovery. You say, what do you mean? Well, when a shepherd is at the sheepfold. Now, do y'all know what a sheepfold is? Here, this is going to bless you. Listen, a sheepfold is not a wall built up like this high where a sheep can't get over it. OK, Can I tell you what shepherds do? They build a sheepfold wherever they go. I mean, if they're traveling out through these valleys and they come to a place of resting overnight, let me tell you what a shepherd does. He gathers stones. Stones. Not high stones, stones. And he makes them in a semicircle. And in the front of the semicircle is two little sections that are parallel. It's called the sheep door, the sheepfold door. And here's what the shepherd does. When he lies in front of that door, that's where he sleeps. The sheep will not even take a step over one of those stones. They're trained that way. But every morning, when the shepherd is ready to leave the sheepfold, he'll bring the sheep out that entrance one by one, and he'll take his rod, and he'll stick it out in front of the sheep. And he does two things with that rod. He discovers two things. Is all my sheep here? And is my sheep healthy? You see, folks, you and I need to understand that it is through this precious and mighty word that God keeps you in good spiritual health. And can I tell you something? That shepherd knows every little minute detail about every one of his sheep. And it doesn't take him but a minute to find out if that sheep is not healthy, or if that sheep needs shearing, or if that sheep has fleas, or if that sheep has picked up a disease of some kind. And he does it by letting them pass under the rod. Now, you Bible scholars, does that sound familiar to you? Found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 35, speaking of Israel. And I will bring you into the wilderness and the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness and of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open upon his eyes of him with whom we have to do. Every moment of every day, when you open the word of God, you're passing under the rod of the shepherd. And he's examining you. He's checking you. And he knows all about you. You may be able to fool your preacher. You may be able to fool your coworkers. You may be able to fool your neighbors. And you may even just fool some of your family members. But you can't fool God. He knows everything about you. Well, the rod, David said, it comforts me. Y'all listen quick, say amen. Amen. I don't want to stop here. I want you to look secondly at the comfort of the shepherd's staff. Not just the shepherd's stick, the shepherd's staff. So if the rod pictures the word of God, the staff pictures the spirit of God. Now you say, why is that? Because the staff is referred to as the staff of comfort. Why is it that way? Because, listen, a sheep knows their shepherd. But one of the ways they know their shepherd is because they know his staff. He never leaves or goes anywhere without his staff. And why is that so comforting to the sheep? Because the shepherd uses that staff to help and to comfort and care for his sheep over and over again. And the sheep come to know the staff as much as they come to know the shepherd. The Spirit of God in the Bible is called the Parakletos. The Paraklete means the comforter. You find that in John. And Jesus said, I will send a comforter unto you. The Paraklete, the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, the only way you can know your shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is you got to know him through the staff, the Spirit of a living God. And he becomes your comfort in your life. But not only is it called the staff of comfort, it's utilized as the staff of control. You say, what do you mean? Well, as the sheep and a flock are walking down a pathway, sometimes the pathway is wide enough where the sheep doesn't have to follow single file in line, but can follow next to the shepherd in some ways. And all of a sudden, a shepherd will see one of his sheep beginning to veer off. And here's what he'll do. He'll take his staff, and when he takes his staff, he'll begin to lightly, lovingly poke the right side. Let's say they're veering off to the right. He'll begin to poke the right side of the sheep's side, and he'll bring that sheep back within step with the shepherd. Or if he's veering off to the left, he'll take that staff and begin to poke the left side. And he helps control the sheep where they go, that they would not wander. Can I tell you, the Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? We're to be controlled by the person of the Holy Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says this is how you know you're a son of God. For he that is the son of God will be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God controls our life. And what a comfort. You say, why is that a comfort? Because I like determining what I want to do with my life. Hey, listen, then you don't know him. But the Spirit of God controls you, leads you, guides you. Why? Because he knows what's best for you. And that's what a shepherd uses this staff for. But here's the other thing. It's a staff of closeness. You say, what do you mean? If that shepherd has to tap that sheep continuously along the pathway. In other words, he taps that sheep, the sheep comes back in line, then we go a little bit longer and the sheep begins to veer off. He taps that sheep again, the sheep comes in line, we go a little further, he begins to veer off. Finally, that shepherd, here's what he'll do. He'll take the crook of his staff and he'll take it, this time not using the bottom of his staff, but the crook of his staff. He'll take and grab the bottom, and he'll reach over with that crook, and he'll hook that crook around that sheep's midsection, and he'll pull that sheep unto himself, and he'll walk side by side with that sheep with that crook wrapped around him. And here's what happens. That sheep learns that only when he's close to the shepherd can he walk in the right path. Can I tell you what the Spirit of God continuously does in your life? He woos you and draws you into intimacy and closeness with your dear and blessed shepherd. He's always cultivating intimacy with you. A closeness and fellowship. A closeness and communion. And sometimes the Spirit of God has to take and wrap us up and bring us close to the person of the Lord Jesus. But there's one other thing the staff is used for. It's what I call the staff of care. Because see, there's another usage for this crook. What happens when a sheep falls into a crevice? Or falls into a pit? Or falls into a creek or a stream? What does the shepherd use to save and rescue the sheep? He takes the crook and he reaches out and he hooks that sheep and pulls him up to himself. You see, the sheep understand that as long as my shepherd has his staff, if I get in trouble, he has the tool to deliver me from my trouble. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 and 12. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. The sheep know the staff is the tool of the shepherd's care. Do you know the Spirit of God is God's care over you? God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of what? The Spirit of God, the staff of a loving shepherd. Well, There's one other thing he uses this crook for, to care for his sheep. Along the journeys, they'll find fruit trees. Many times the branches of the fruit trees are beyond the shepherd's reach. So what does he do? He takes the staff and he hooks a branch. And he shakes or beats the branch. And the fruit falls to the ground. And the sheep eat. Let me ask you a question. Can you really feed on the fruit of God's Word without the Holy Spirit? Can I tell you, every day, God's taken His loving Spirit and He's shaken the bushes of the fruit trees. And all you got to do is open it up and eat. Spirit gives you light to understand, gives you understanding to apply, gives you wisdom to know. The Spirit of God teaches you the Word of God. So David said, when I walk through the valley, well, I'm not going to fear any evil because thou art with me. And not only are you with me, but thy rod. Even in times of correction, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. So here's the invitation. I'm going to make it simple. Does the rod, God's Word, does it comfort you? If it does, you'll have no problem giving yourself to it. The staff, the Holy Spirit, does He comfort you? Or is the thought of Him controlling my life not comforting at all? Can I tell you? If you don't think the Spirit of God controlling your life is a comfort, let me introduce you to the person of the Lord Jesus. Because if you know Him the way I know Him and the way every saved person knows Him, you'll know there's only one pathway of comfort, and it's the pathway the Spirit of God leads you. And there's no other comfort than that. Father, thank You for the rod of Your Word. Thank You for the staff of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Father, for the comfort that comes through Your Word by the Holy Spirit. Thank You for a peace that comes to know not only are You with me, but Your rod and Your staff are always there for my help, for my good. Always there to help me grow. Always there to keep me in step. Always there to keep me close. Thank You today for Your rod and staff in my life. Father, You know every person here. You know if anybody here today has never truly been saved. I pray today, Father, You'd let them know that, Father, Your Son, the Lord Jesus, is the door into the sheepfold. And He's the only way. There's no other way but by Him. And He's welcoming those He's drawing unto to Himself. He's welcoming them into the fold. But, Father, for us that are saved today, I ask and I pray, may we be serious and may we be transparent that if we can truly say that the rod of Your Word and the staff of Your Spirit, oh, they bring comfort to me. Father, maybe tonight we just need to get real before you. And say, Father, I need to give myself to your word more and more. I need to give myself to the control of your spirit more and more and quit trying to claim my independence. And I need to get more dependent. So, Father, whatever you need to do tonight, you do for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said,